Hey, it's Nishant, and welcome to Higher IQ. Hello, everyone. It is Tuesday, July 14th, and happy Bastille Day. I grew up in Milwaukee. Not sure if everyone knows that, but every summer in Milwaukee, the city throws a festival called Bastille Days in Cathedral Square in downtown. It's actually a really fun event. They put up a mini Eiffel Tower, there's crepes, French food vendors, there's live music, and then they also have a run called Storm the Bastille that goes through the streets around the park. I went pretty much every year and had a great time every time I went, but I never asked once what the Bastille was or why we were storming it. It was just a fun summer festival with a French theme. So for today's episode, I finally looked into it. And the story behind that festival name is a lot more violent, more consequential, and more relevant to modern life than I ever would have guessed. On July 14th, 1789, a crowd of Parisians stormed a fortress and prison called the Bastille, launched a revolution that overthrew the monarchy, and set in motion a chain of events that gave us modern democracy, the concept of universal human rights, the metric system, and also a period of mass executions so intense it became known as the Reign of Terror. All started because people couldn't afford bread. All right, so let's get into the story. France in the late 1780s was broke and hungry. King Louis XVI had inherited enormous debt from decades of war and royal excess, and he kept spending. His wife, Marie Antoinette, was infamous for her extravagance. By the way, I'm not sure if this rings a bell for anyone, but the phrase, let them eat cake, is actually most associated with her. But the truth is that she almost certainly never said it. The phrase appeared in Jean-Jacques Rousseau's autobiography attributed to a great princess, when Marie Antoinette was only 9 years old. The real Marie Antoinette was politically tone-deaf, but probably not that cartoonishly cruel. What was real was the famine. Crop failures in 1788 caused the price of bread to spike so severely that by the summer of 1789, an average worker was spending roughly 88% of their wages on bread alone. I mean, like, think about that. We all complain about milk being whatever, $4 or $5, however much you buy. Like, imagine spending 88% of your wages on bread. The rest of Europe had grain, but France's internal trade policies made it difficult to move food between regions within the country. People in Paris were starving while grain existed elsewhere in France, which is the type of systemic failure that makes populations very angry very quickly. The political system was structured to make reform nearly impossible. French society was divided into three estates. There was the clergy, which was the first estate, the nobility, the second estate, and everyone else, the third estate. The third estate made up roughly 98% of the population, but had limited political representation and bore the heaviest tax burden. The clergy and the nobility were largely exempt from taxes. When Louis XVI called a meeting of the Estates General in May 1789 to address the financial crisis, the third estate broke away and formed the National Assembly, declaring that they represented the people of France and demanded a constitution. Louis appeared to accept this, but then what did he do? He surrounded Paris with troops and fired his most popular minister, Jacques Necker, who had been sympathetic to reform. Paris interpreted both moves as preparation to crush the assembly by force. On the morning of July 14th, crowds had already raided a military hospital for muskets and cannons, but needed gunpowder to use them. The Bastille, a medieval fortress in the heart of Paris, was known to store ammunition. It was also a potent symbol of royal authority, a place where the king could imprison anyone indefinitely with a lettre de cachet, which is a sealed letter requiring no trial, no charges, and no appeal. But by 1789, the Bastille's reputation was far more intimidating than its reality. The fortress had held exactly 7 prisoners on the day it was stormed, 4 men convicted of forgery, 2 men considered mentally ill, and 1 nobleman being held at his family's request. The prison was practically empty and was already scheduled for demolition to make way for the public square. The terrifying symbol of tyranny was, at that point, basically a bureaucratic leftover. But that didn't matter. A crowd of roughly 1,000 people surrounded the fortress and demanded its surrender. The governor, Bernard René Dulaunay, invited a few protest leaders inside to negotiate. As talks dragged on, the crowd grew restless. Some climbed the walls and lowered the drawbridge. Dulaunay ordered his troops to fire. nearly 100 attackers were killed, and then the French Guard, a military regiment, arrived and turned their cannons on the Bastille. Delaunay surrendered. He was dragged out of the fortress, murdered by the crowd, and his head was placed on a spike and paraded through the streets of Paris. I mean, I know it was the 1700s, but like killing a politician, putting his head on a spike and dragging it around the city seems insane. Even as politically divided as our country is today, I just still can't see anyone doing that. But continuing on, the storming freed the seven prisoners, killed nearly 100 people, and changed the trajectory of Western civilization. Because within weeks, the feudal system was abolished. Within months, the National Assembly adopted the Declaration of the Rights of Man and of the Citizen, which declared that men are born and remain free and equal in rights, a statement that influenced the U.S. Bill of Rights, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, and virtually every democratic constitution written since. Within 3 years, the monarchy was abolished entirely. Louis XVI was executed by guillotine in January 1793, and Marie Antoinette followed in October. I don't know if anyone has seen The Scarlet Pimpernel, but I actually was in that in high school. It also took place right after the death of these two, and it was in 1793. Guillotine executions at this point were very, very common. The revolution that began with the storming of the Bastille produced some of the most important ideas in modern political history and some of the most horrifying violence, probably because of the guillotine. But the Declaration of the Rights of Man established principles that most democracies now take for granted. Freedom of speech, freedom of religion, the presumption of innocence, the right to property, and even the idea that sovereignty belongs to the people rather than to the monarch. The revolution replaced the old measurement system with the metric system, which is now used by every country on earth, except the United States, of course. Also, there's Liberia and Myanmar who don't use it. The Napoleonic Code that followed the revolution became the foundation for civil law in most of the continental Europe, Latin America, and parts of Asia and Africa. But the revolution also consumed itself. The Reign of Terror, led by Maximilian Robespierre and the Committee of Public Safety from September 1793 to July 1794, executed roughly 17,000 people by guillotine in 10 months, many of them fellow revolutionaries, accused of insufficient loyalty to the cause. Robespierre himself was eventually arrested and guillotined in July 1794, executed by the same mechanism that he had used to execute thousands of others. When I was in high school, I was in a musical called The Scarlet Pimpernel, and one of the songs was literally about the guillotine. The line was, "Sing, swing, savor the sting, as she severs you, Madame Guillotine." Super violent musical, but it is actually pretty good and super catchy songs, so you should go listen to that one after this. The revolution that started because ordinary people demanded representation from their government ended, at least temporarily, with a government that killed anyone who disagreed with it. Out of that chaos came Napoleon Bonaparte, who seized power in 1799 and declared himself emperor in 1804, which is an ironic end to a revolution that began by overthrowing a king. But the ideas the revolution introduced, popular sovereignty, individual rights, equality before the law, the separation of church and state, outlasted both the Terror and Napoleon and became the foundation of modern democratic government worldwide. And all of that started because bread was too expensive and a crowd stormed a prison that was practically empty. So the next time you run a 5K called Storm the Bastille in a park in Milwaukee, that's what you're commemorating. This was a longer episode, so I'll do a really quick recap. Today is Bastille Day, the anniversary of July 14th, 1789, when a crowd of Parisians stormed the Bastille fortress and launched the French Revolution. The revolution was triggered by bread prices that consumed 88% of a worker's wages, exempted the wealthy, still not that different from today, but what really pissed people off was the way that the king responded, which was to surround Paris with troops. The revolution that followed the Bastille produced the Declaration of Rights of Man, the metric system, and the foundation of modern democratic government. It also produced the Reign of Terror, where 17,000 people were guillotined in 10 months, and eventually Napoleon, who crowned himself emperor, ending the revolution that had started by overthrowing a king. So stay informed, stay curious, respect Madame Guillotine, and we'll see you tomorrow.